Pastor Zach Young.
Well, welcome to Church Unlimited. How many people excited about being in God's house this morning? Amen. Man, I'm telling you, I hope you're ready because I came fired up. I'm ready to go today. And I need you to help me because God has put a word inside of my heart, and he's put a scripture specifically inside of my heart. One scripture that God has put in my heart is Psalms 34, verse 1. It says these words. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth. One thing I want to encourage you with is you have a praise inside of your mouth today. So across all of our physical locations, on prison and online, I need you to help me. I know you're going to get your exercise today. You just sat down, but I need you to stand up for your boy really quick. I need you to get up on your feet because a lot of you today have come to Church Unlimited and you fought very hard to get just inside of this service. The enemy's been fighting you all week. Some of you, he's been fighting you in your family. Some of you, he's been fighting you on your job. Some of you, he's been fighting with personal addictions and things that you face. And the enemy thought he was going to take God's praise from out of your mouth. But we're here to declare that he's a liar and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So we need to give God the biggest shout of praise in this place and say, thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we magnify you. And we lift up your name because you're a good God. Amen? 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 He's a good, good God. You may take your seat. I need to slow down here. I got to do this for two more services in Jesus. Hallelujah. But when you have a praise in your heart, the enemy can't take that from you. Amen? When you got a praise on your lips, you can't allow the enemy to take that from you. You got to say, I'm still going to go forward. As for me and my house, we're still going to serve the Lord. We're still going to serve the Lord. I want to say hello to all of our locations, Rodfield, Padre Island, Rockport, Stone Oak, and GP. We love you guys. I want to say hello to Prison Ministry Online. And I want to give it up for the leadership of this church with Pastor Bill and Jessica Cornelius. We love you, Pastor Bill. We love you, Miss Jessica. Thank you for starting this church. Our lives are better because of you. Well, my name is Zach Young, like they shared. I'm grateful to be here today, and God has a word for you today, and we're going to dive in. How many people are ready? Come on. Let's go. Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The word of God reads like this. It says, so the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. Everybody say completed. It says it was completed. And on the seventh day, God had finished all his work of creation. So he rested. Everybody say rested. It says, so he rested from all of his work. It didn't say some of his work. It said he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day, and he declared it holy. That word holy means sanctified or set apart or put to the side for a special purpose because it was the day when he rested from all of creation. I want to share with you today a message entitled The Power of Rest. The Power of Rest. Bow your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we feel your spirit in this place already. We know your spirit is in our hearts. And we pray, Father, Lord, that you would show up and show out. You have already set the table. Do what you're best at doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Growing up, my father had multiple jobs. And he had multiple jobs because he did everything he could to provide for me and the rest of my family. And he worked many jobs at nighttime, kind of like graveyard shifts. And he would come back home and he would sleep in the morning during the day. And one day, he returned and came back to our apartment where we lived. And when he showed up, he was exhausted, but he was very hungry too as well. So he attempted to make something to eat on the stovetop and inside of the oven. And he started cooking the food. And while it was set at the temperature it was at, he figured he could go in the room and lay down and just rest for a minute. And he thought he would be okay. Unfortunately, that was not the case. After he laid down, everything that was on the stove, everything that was in the oven, ended up burning completely. But not only did it burn, he started a fire inside of our kitchen too as well. Now I want to make this clear, the whole house wasn't on fire, it was self-contained, but smoke filled the whole entire apartment. All of the alarms were going off and it caught the attention of our neighbors who were home and those who were passing by. So they did what anybody would do, they called 911. The firefighters show up, the paramedics show up, all of the CCPD officers that were given the call, they end up showing up too as well, and the firefighters made entry inside of the house. When they came inside of the house, the first thing they did was go from room to room to make sure there was nobody in the home. They walked inside of the room where my father was, only to find him laying down, sound asleep. But I'm not talking about any kind of regular sleep. He had that good sleep going on, if you know what I mean. Mouth wide open, lip hanging down, drool on his face, good sleep. And they grabbed my dad, they shook him, woke him up frantically, and they told him, sir, you gotta get out of here. You gotta get out of here. There's a fire here inside of your house. He gets up, he goes out. My mom gets called by one of the neighbors about all the chaos that's going on. She comes back. When she shows up, she's like, what were you doing, Walter? What was going on? And then after everything subsided, all of the chaos, all the craziness there, the question still remained. And the question remained as this. Mr. Young, how could you sleep through such chaos? How could you sleep with alarms going off, firefighters, first responders coming inside your house, but yet you were still gone and asleep? And my father's simple words was this. He said, I was so tired and so exhausted, I didn't even realize what was going on. I have a question for you today. Do you feel exhausted? Do you feel tired? Do you feel depleted of energy? Do you feel like you've been stretched from one end to the other? Maybe you feel like there's an area in your life that may be on fire. Maybe you have family conflict going on. Maybe you have things going on inside of your marriage. Maybe personally, you feel like I have a personal struggle that I don't want anybody to know about. And what I've been going through personally literally has made me feel like my life is on fire. I want to give you some encouragement of what God says that we can do inside of his word in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. These are encouraging words that God gives to us. He says this. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And Jesus says this, and I will give you rest for your souls. The first thing I want you to take down on your phone, if you can write this down with something, if you have the app, the Notes to See You app, write this down. The first thing God wants to do, God doesn't only want to give you physical rest, God wants to give you rest for your souls. God wants to give you rest for your souls. Many times when we equate rest or we associate it with something, we associate it with physically allowing our bodies to take a break. And we do need to have our bodies take a break. We need 8 hours of sleep. We need to make sure that we're getting adequate rest. But just like our physical bodies need rest, our souls need rest too as well. Amen? Amen? And the way we get our soul's rest is first identifying and knowing what our soul consists of. Our soul encompasses three things. It's our mind, our will, and our emotions. You were created as a three-part being. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Let me say that again. You are a spirit in the inside of you. If you were to cut yourself open to the core of you, you are a spirit, you have a soul that will live in heaven or hell one day, and you are a body. And our souls consist of our mind, our will, and our emotions, our feelings. And our souls are able to get rest when we spend time in the presence of God. So these are three things, three practical things I want to encourage you with that you can give rest to your soul with. The first thing is this: you got to spend time reading God's word. Amen. I'm going to say that again. You have to spend time reading God's word. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, man shall not live by bread alone. That means man shall not live by food alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That means you have to be reading God's word if you want to give rest to your soul. I want to say it in the ZIV. The ZIV is a different translation. You have the NLT, New Living Translations. You have the NIV, New International Version. And then you have the ZIV. The ZIV is the Zach International Version. The Zach International Version says it like this. It says, man shall not live by taquitos alone, but by every word that comes from out of the mouth of God. If you don't like taquitos, hopefully you like Mexican food, right? So man shall not live by Mexican food alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You have to get yourself filled with God's word if you want to have rest for your soul. The second thing is this. You got to spend time in worship. Amen? Amen. You got to spend your time getting your mind and your focus off of your problems and getting your mind focused on the problem solver, who is the King of Kings, who is the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who can give rest for your soul. You have to spend time in worship. Pastor Zach, how does that look? Put on KSBJ. Find some Christian music and just play it like you're here at CU at a 10 a.m. service and just worship. Sing loud. Give God all of your praise, all of his glory, because your soul gets rest when you spend time worshiping God. The third thing that you have to do practically that can help bring rest to your soul is spend time in prayer. You have to spend time talking to God. Did you know at the beginning of creation, one of the things that Jesus loved the most was the communication time, or from the root word of communication, there's a word called communion. Communion time that Jesus would have with Adam during the cool of the day. And all he and Adam would do was just walk and talk. They would be praying together. They would just be communicating together. We have overcomplicated what prayer looks like. Prayer is not hard. We make it hard. We feel like we have to be all holy and mighty. We have to say the right things when all God wants you to do is just talk to him. He just wants you to have conversation with him. He loves you. That's what prayer is. And we have to spend time praying to God. James 5:16 says that the effective, fervent prayers of the righteous are heard by God. When we spend time in prayer, we're literally drawing closer to God. I want to share this with you. I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching alongside you. I'm not preaching at you today. I'm preaching alongside you because this was a hard thing for me to do this past Friday. And the reason why I say that is because Friday's my day of Sabbath where I should be spending time. It's my day off. It's where I should be spending more time praying, reading my Bible, and in worship. But you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to work on this right here, the message. Because I felt a burden that I needed to deliver something. I felt a burden that I needed to share with you today. And I was like, God, I need to get there. And God's like, no, you need to get to my presence. He says, in my presence, Zach is fullness of joy. But I was like, but God, I got to prepare this message. Like, I have to have something ready to go. He goes, no. He goes, you only need me. He says, if you can get me, I'm going to show up and do my new supernatural where your natural is, and I can do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or even think. Just get in my presence. We got to spend time praying, worshiping, and reading God's word. I want to share with you a story I heard from a pastor. The pastor shared this. He said that there was a church member who came to him. You know, some church members are crazy. I'm just going to be honest with you. There's some crazy church members. We love y'all, but y'all need help. Amen? Crazy church member. This church member came to this pastor. He came to the pastor and told the pastor, she was like, Pastor, I've been trying to reach you for the longest time. The pastor's like, oh, okay. I've called up to the church to contact you. I've talked to your admin. I've sent you emails, and I still wasn't able to get in contact with you, Pastor. And the pastor was like, well, okay, well, I'm here now. I'm willing to help you. Okay, well, it's good now because I've been trying to reach you this whole entire time, and I haven't been able to contact you, Pastor. He goes, all right. He goes, well, before I even help you, he said, I have a question for you. When were you trying to reach me? I tried contacting you, Pastor, all Monday. It was Tuesday when they were talking that day right there. He goes, okay, well, a 24-hour period. He goes, well, I see where the discrepancy is. He goes, the discrepancy is on Monday, I actually take time to Sabbath. I take time to rest. He goes, and the reason I rest is because I preach on Sunday and I'm at the church leading all through the course of the week. So Monday is really my day of rest. It's the only time that I have there. Your day of rest? What do you mean your day of rest? Pastor, don't you know that the devil doesn't rest? So the pastor looked at the woman and he's like, well, yes, ma'am, I do know that the devil doesn't rest. He goes, but that's why I take off Monday, because I don't want to become the devil. Hey, you have to make time to intentionally carve out rest in your schedule, amen? Because if you do not carve out time for rest in your schedule, nobody else is going to do it for you. You have to be intentional to spend time in the presence of God. I want to share some statistics with you. It's because I believe the reason why we have seen people overworked in our society is because they're not taking time to rest. And I want to show you these statistics really quick. These statistics are from the American Institute of Stress, and it is also brought in by OSHA. And OSHA reports these words. It says that 83% of you, 83% of you report work-related stress. And of the 83% of you who report work-related stress, 65% of you report a significant amount of work-related stress. But look at the effect that this has on our whole world as a whole, and especially our nation. We have 18 million hours that are lost annually due to work-related stress and poor mental health. And of those 18 million hours, did you know we lose as a country $300 billion because of poor mental health and work-related stress? I wonder how many of those people are actually taking time to rest. I wonder how many of those people are actually taking time to Sabbath and spend time in the presence of God, praying, reading their word, and spending time in worship. I felt this as a burden on my heart, and I wanted to speak it into our church, into this community. There are a lot of parents that are inside of our church who believe their kids are going to be the next NFL player. You believe your child is gonna go to the NBA. You believe that your child is going to be the next all-star player. And I'm grateful that you have a high aspiration for your kids and continue to have those high aspirations for your children. But do your kids really need to be on 20 select teams? Do they need to be on 15 all-star teams? Do they need to go to every single practice Monday through Sunday, sacrificing sports on the altar of God on the weekend because you want to take time to believe that they're going to be the next NFL player? What are we showing to our children in the next generation when we make sports the idol and we put God down below? I felt this as a burden on my heart while I was preparing this message. One of the best things you can do for your children is say, look, we love you. We're going to believe the best in you. You have great goals and aspiration, but we're going to go from 20 teams to 15 teams in Jesus' name. And we're going to make time to spend time inside of God's presence on Sunday, because as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're not going to sacrifice sports on the altar of Jesus Christ. So I just feel led to encourage you. If it's not sports for you, maybe it's something else. Maybe it's extracurricular or hobbies that you're placing. But I want to encourage you. We need to make time to rest and spend time in the presence of God. And you get a great opportunity to do that, not only in your own time, but here on Sunday. That's why we talk about attending. When you attend, you serve, you tithe, you group, you bring, you get spiritually filled by God. Because if you think about it, did God really need rest? Did God really need time to rest? Think about this. He's God. The Bible refers to him as El Shaddai, which means God Almighty. Did he really need to rest? I'm going to give you the answer, no. Rockfield, Padre Island, Stone Oak, GP, Rockport, God didn't need to rest. He rested because he wanted to emulate to us something he didn't need, but he knew one day we would need. So he wanted to make sure that he spent time resting so he could be the perfect example of what rest would look like. We have to spend time resting. This is four reasons why I believe people choose to run rather than rest. The first thing is fear. The first thing is fear. We believe that God is not going to provide in our life. We believe that we have to work 7 days a week because we're our provision and God isn't our provision. But the Bible says the direct opposite. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, "And my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." That means God is going to make provision for you. You don't need 15 side hustles to make provision. Well, Pastor Zach, I'm a single mother. I have to work 7 days a week to provide for my family. God will bless you with 6 days of a job, and he'll make provision for the seventh day if you honor him and put him first inside of your life. We can't fear that God is not going to provide. How many parents do we have in a room? Show a hand. If you're a parent, let me see your hand. Raise it up, wave it up in the hand, hands like, and wave it like you just don't care. I see all the parents. Don't be beating your kids, okay? Love your children. If you're a, I heard a baby over there like saying, amen, preach. Don't beat me, mama. Lord Jesus. If you're a parent, and you're in the building, you don't only want to supply the needs of your children. Don't you also want to supply the wants of your children? You're not just going to give them the basic food, water that they need to drink. You want to make sure that you can go get them the things that they enjoy. Even if it's an iPhone flip that they're coming out with for $2,500 and you got to put it on layaway, amen? You want to provide them with the things that they love the most. But the Bible says this, if you being evil, this is what the word of God, he's speaking to us. Jesus just comes straight out at us. He says, if you being evil know how to give your children good gifts, how much more does your heavenly Father, who is good, know how to give you even greater gifts? God will make provision for you inside of your life. The second thing is this, you can't fall into condemnation. Some of us are really busybodies and we gotta be doing something. We can't stay still. We gotta be moving. And many of us feel guilty when we take a day to rest, but that's where the enemy wants to keep you. He wants to keep you moving so you don't spend time inside of the presence of God. But God wants you not to feel condemned. Romans 8:1 says this, "Now therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and they don't gratify the deeds of their flesh." So we have to know this. We don't have to feel condemned when we're resting. When we're resting, God is pouring into us so we can become a better version of ourselves down the road. So we have to spend time resting. The third thing is this. It's identity. There are many of us here that have gotten lost in what we do, and we have forgotten who we are. I'm going to say that again. There is many people here who have gotten lost in what they do, and they have forgotten who they are. Can I share this with you? One reason why you won't rest is because you have the title of doctor. I have the title lawyer. I have the title supervisor. I have the title manager. I have the title lead. I have the title owner. I have the title business partner. And you feel like, hey, I have my identity in this, so I have to work, especially so everybody else below me can see my hard work ethic. And the enemy is banking on the fact that you run rather than rest because you're caught up in identity. But can I tell you this? Before you were ever given a title by man, you were first given a name by God. Before you were given a title by man, you were first given a name by God. And God calls you son. God calls you daughter. God says that you're the head and not the tail, that you're above and not beneath, that you're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in and blessed coming out. Jesus loves you. You don't have to be caught up in your identity. You need to spend time resting. The last thing is this. Is we fail to trust God. We fail to take God's word at face value. Look at Psalms 37:25. The psalmist David, he shares these words. David says this. He says, "I once was young." He says, "But now I'm old." How many old people in the building? Let me see if you're sure. I never can get people to raise their hand when it comes to that time. We had the first service, I was like, how many people are old? About 2-3 people raised their hand, right? And I said, how many people are young? I had 80-year-olds in the back. Hey! Nobody wants to admit they're old. That's all right. I'm not mad at you. I'm trying to stay young too. Psalmist David said, "I once was young." He says, "But now I'm old." But listen to the last part of the scripture. He said, "But I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread." You know what that means? God is going to take care of you. God is going to make provision for you. If you seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, the Bible says that everything, come on, I can't hear you. It says everything. It says everything will be added unto you. So this is my second point that I want to give to you today. It says, we need to remember that while we are resting, God is still working. Abraham Lincoln served as our 16th president of the United States of America. And he made major contributions to United States history. He's also known for a lot of great things. He's known for his great leadership. He's known for his integrity. And he's also known for his great wisdom. Abraham Lincoln shared these words. He said, "Give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, and I will spend the first 4 hours sharpening the axe." President Lincoln reminds us that we should invest just as much time resting as we do working. We must remember that when we take time to Sabbath and rest, that you're not being idle, you're not being unproductive, you're spiritually taking time to sharpen your axe. You know, one thing that we fail to realize is this. We fail to realize that while we're resting, God is doing an inner work inside of us. We forget that while the business is growing, God is also growing us. We fail to realize that while our kids are growing, God is also growing us. We also sometimes fail to realize that while we're going through personal struggles and we want to give up, even in those struggles, God is still growing us. So we have to realize in moments like this that God loves us. And when we're sitting down, we're not being idle. We're not wasting time. While we're spending time reading God's word, God is sharpening us. While we're spending time, in prayer, God is sharpening us. When we spend time turning on worship music and we're giving our hearts to God, God is sharpening us. Are you tired today? Do you feel like you're at your wit's end? Are you like, man, I can't take it anymore? This is just too much for me. God is inviting you into his presence. The Bible says, in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. God says, in the presence of God, he will give us peace that transcends all mental understanding. If you're at Rodfield today, if you're at Padre Island, if you're at Rockport, Stone Oak, GP, or online, or here at Church Unlimited Broadcast Campus, God's saying, hey, I love you. I know you're tired, and I want to give you rest, but I need you to slow down. I need you to come inside of my presence, because in my presence, there's fullness of joy. Did you know God says these words? He says, I love you so much. He says, and you know what? I'm going to give you the strength that you need to do your job. But he says these words, I'm not going to give you the strength to do my job. You need to enter into the rest that I've given you. The Sabbath is a blessing. It's an opportunity for us to grow in our individual relationship with God. Would you bow your heads with me today? With all heads bowed and with all eyes closed, maybe today you came feeling tired. If that's you, just raise your hand in the air. We want to pray for you. We know that God has rest for you, and you can enter into that rest today. Father, for every hand that's raised, I pray, God, that you would give them rest. You literally said, God, that you would never leave us, neither would you forsake us, but that you would be with us even until the end of time. I pray that they can sense your presence right now in this place, God. Fill every broken heart. Mend every broken soul as only you can. In Jesus' name. With all heads bowed and all eyes still closed, maybe today you want rest. Before you could ever get rest, you first have to enter into a relationship with the one who can provide it. And that person is Jesus. Jesus is waiting for you to come into covenant with him. And that just comes through a simple prayer. All you have to do is say these words. Just say, Dear God, you said in the Bible that whoever would call on your name, that you would save them. Father, I call on you now. I ask you to save me. I repent of my sins and I give you my life. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and he rose again, proving that he's God. I ask you now to come live in me. Thank you, Jesus, for being Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. With all heads bowed and all eyes still closed, if you made the decision to accept Jesus at Rodfield, Padre Island, Rockport, GP, Stone Oak, online, if you made that decision today in our prison ministry, can you do me a favor? Can you raise your hand in the air? Say, today I made the decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Lift that hand high in the air so we can see it. We love to be able to know about the awesome decision that you made to accept Jesus Christ. We see those hands. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord God, that we get to enter into the rest that can only come from you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Pastor.